I'm going to talk with Andrea Wolper upcoming in this hour. We'll talk about the new album. Here's a taste of the new album.
Thank you.
Andrea Wolper from a new album called Parallel Lives here on Jazz 88, and she's paralleled into WBGO today. That's a song from Oliver.
Oliver, yeah.
Lionel Bart. What about that song turned you on and wanted to sing?
Oh, gosh. What about it? I think something that fascinates me in life in general and is something of a theme running through a lot of the songs on the CD, this idea of wanting to recapture something that happened, the way a sense memory can bring you right back to the past. And I guess in this song, it's wanting to keep it for the future. But that idea of being two places at once, the present and the past, the present and the future.
Are you being method in that? I mean, Stanislavskian and finding something deep in yourself in these songs? Is that what it is?
Well, I don't know what method I'm using. But I think, yeah, I'm always trying to find something deep in myself or connect in some way to the songs and express something that feels real.
That's actually something that I always endeavor to get across to singers, is that don't sing songs that you don't know what you're singing about, because you're telling a story, but it's your story. You got to make it your story.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I shouldn't say this, but okay. I opened my mouth. I heard a recording recently, and I don't even remember now who it was, but it was a terrific singer, but they were making mistakes with the lyrics. Mistakes are one thing, but the lyrics made no sense.
Right.
The mistakes they made, it didn't make any sense. Oh, gosh. See, now I have to be like, I can never make any more mistakes because I said that.
That's so you can make all the mistakes you want. I make mistakes every day. If it weren't for the mistakes, I wouldn't be human.
Right.
I mean, actually, evolution is all mistakes, basically. They get perpetuated, but that's a whole other thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to really get into it. Sometimes I've heard singers that they're singing about a broken heart, and you know that their heart was never broken.
Mm.
And some of them, it's like, you haven't even dated. What are you kidding me? And then, right. and then you'll hear somebody, and you just know they've been there and done that.
You know, I think no matter what your instrument is, whether you're singing, whether you're playing an instrument, no matter what the style of music, really, it's all about expressing something. And I feel really strongly about that. That there's some music is a way of humans connecting, and that it's all about expressing something that you feel. Something meaningful. I mean, it doesn't have to be conventional or expected, but I don't know. If you're just going through the motions, why bother?
Indeed. When will your much more matterful motions happen? You're going to be singing.
Right.
Doing things that matter is what I mean. You'll be singing at the Zinc Bar on?
On this Wednesday, the 16th. I have two CD release celebrations in this region, in the New York, New Jersey region, at the Zinc Bar on Wednesday the 16th of November at sets at 7 and 8 p.m. And then Sunday the 20th, a week from today, will be at Trumpets in Montclair, New Jersey at 7:15 and 9:30, I believe.
You're going to be there with whom?
With whom? I'm going to be there with the band that's on this CD with me, the people that I love playing with, and that's Chris Davis, you just heard on Who Will Buy on piano, Ken Filiano on bass, you also heard there, Michael T.A. Thompson on drums, and Michael Howell on guitar.
And they're singing, or she's singing with them, songs from Parallel Lives, including a somewhat obscure song, not really, I guess, because millions attended The Sound of Music, but people don't realize that Richard Rodgers actually wrote the words and the music.
Right.
For the movie.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Perhaps I had a wicked childhood. Perhaps I had a miserable youth. But somewhere in my wicked, miserable past, there must have been a moment of truth.
Not quite in the groove of The Sound of Music, but
not quite Julie Andrews.
No, but nobody is. You're not supposed to be.
No.
You're not supposed to be Julie Andrews. You're supposed to be Andrea
Wolper.
She
does it so well, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. Andrea Wolper is with me on Jazz 88. Parallel Lives is the new record. It's a great picture of you on the back.
Thanks. Michael Keel took that. I should give him a little mention. Michael Keel.
And the Zinc Bar on Wednesday and Trumpets in Montclair next Sunday. She's going to be celebrating this new album. So when we met was at this seminar or whatever it was of singers, and they wanted me to talk about what I listened for. And I remember I said I listened for style and artistry and repertoire and show business and everything. And I realized that that spelled out star or something like that.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes, I do.
Only if you turn it around, star becomes rats. But it was the same thing. I want to hear chops, and I want to hear really interesting songs that if you're going to do a song I've heard 100 times or 1,000 times, don't do it like I've heard it the same way all those times. And do some songs that nobody does. I mean, there's still Rodgers and Hart and Cole Porter songs that I've never heard anybody outside of shows perform those songs. So you're doing everything. You do it across the spectrum.
Yeah, I like to mix it up. I think what catches my ear is, I don't know, eclectic, or there's just a range of styles of music that catch my attention. And I do kind of have to fall in love with something for it to stick. I'll try stuff out and sometimes keep working on it, and sometimes it comes into my life for a little, song comes into my life for a little while and then exits, or I let it go. Yeah, I have to really pretty much fall in love with it.
Do you have that thing like a musical track in your head, and then you get a song in there and just can't get it out?
Well, yes, that does happen.
An earworm, it's called.
Yeah, yeah.
And sometimes to get it out, you have to sing it, right?
Right? Yeah, or get something else. Actually, the worst thing is when you're trying to do, you're in a gig and you sing one song and then you're on to the next one. You can't get the last. I sometimes like hit my ear like a swimmer does.
Yeah.
To get the last one out.
You do Joni Mitchell songs. You do this Lionel Barton, Richard Rodgers songs that we've talked about. You've written your own songs on here. So what is it? I mean, yeah, it grabs a hold of you, but it's words, it's music,
it's magic, right? That combination of harmony, words, music, feeling. One of the songs on here is the Buffy St. Marie song, Maple Sugar Boy, which I didn't know. I think I first heard that song shortly before we went in to do this recording, and it just, really simple song, but something about it just grabbed me, and I felt like I could do something with it. And that happened on the last CD, The Small Hours. It happened with a couple of tunes that we hadn't been doing, Crazy Love and Moanin'. And I suddenly, of course, I knew both of those songs, but suddenly I had to do them and write these arrangements of them that were different than... It's sometimes it happens that way. Something just grabs me. Sometimes a song that I've known my whole life, I didn't know I wanted to sing, and then I do.
I always ask singers, why do you sing the songs that you sing? And the real answer is sometimes you just don't know.
No.
And it's like, when I started doing art and collage and things, I would spend an hour on like one little millimeter of a line of an image, and you realize, I can't explain why.
Exactly.
But you know when it's the right thing. You know when it's together and it's what you want. And it's the same thing with a song. You just know it. You know it's sort of, it's in your unconscious or something.
Yeah, I guess the only good thing, or the thing with the song, is that you get to keep doing it over and over, and so you can keep exploring it and getting inside of it and finding new things in it.
Yeah, Rex Stout told me once. Somebody asked him, how did you create the characters of Nero Wolfe? And he said, I don't know. I'm not on speaking terms with my unconscious. And I always thought that was just brilliant. I mean, that's what art is. But in a way, these songs, they go into your unconscious, and then they lurk there.
Yeah.
And then they come up in interesting ways, ideally, with arrangements and musicians and all of that. And that's what you're going to do this week.
That is.
Zinc Bar, Wednesday evening, trumpets next Sunday. Let's listen to that song you were talking about. Buffy St. Marie wrote this?
She did.
sugar brown, lying in the sun. I'm getting browner. Sad little girl, sad little tear. Never felt more helpless, never downer. Bad little boy, lonely little girl, lonely little heart filled up with tears.
Andrea Wolper from Parallel Lives. You want to explain that title?
Well, I guess I alluded to it a little bit. Again, I'm always thinking about the life that one is living versus the life one might be living if they had turned a different direction at some point. And the memories, how memories of the past can seem so present and so real that it's almost like being in two places at once. So a lot of the songs on the CD, to one degree or another, touch on that. Maybe not really specifically or really directly, but although I think a couple do. But it just seemed to be a theme for me, in terms of the music, and then also in terms of allowing, as I mentioned in the liner notes on the CD, allowing myself to embrace whatever kind of music grabs me and not feel like it has to all be within a certain genre, being able to just allowing myself to wander down all the musical paths that catch my interest.
Sometimes it's curious, you're in a certain place and why am I doing this? And then you start, you have to backtrack.
Yeah.
It's not that you don't want to be doing this, but how did I get to this place?
Oh, yeah.
And you start backtracking, and then, oh, that's because I turned that corner, and then I turned that corner because around this way, and then that, and then you get back to where you know where you was the real change,
right?
The real turning point, as it were. Oh, I'm and doing this because of that.
Sometimes those are tiny little moments, and sometimes they're big moments. I remember this was years ago when I was first living in New York, and I got my first place. I had been staying with different people, and then I got my first place to live, and I was looking at, you could actually decide, and not, you didn't necessarily have to grab the first place that came along. And I remember looking at a place on the upper, I think it was East 75th Street, and a place in Greenwich Village, and which one should I take? Which one should I take? And I was wondering, and I ended up in Greenwich Village, but I always wondered, what would my life be today if I had moved into that other apartment? And I mean, we all have those moments every moment, every day. But for some reason, that one sticks with me.
Is it the saddest words of mind or pen? Are these what might
what
have
might
been?
Have been
something
right.
Like that.
I might not be sitting here with you today if
there
I
you
had
go.
Moved into East 75th Street.
You might be a rocket scientist or something.
Well, unlikely. But who knows?
Who knows? Who knows? You write these songs. And one of the really nice songs on this album is a song about winter, which it's really starting to feel like.
It's starting to, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank
here's,
you.
Here's Andrea Wolper on Jazz 88.
Snow on the rain. I'm still waiting there for me.
Andrea Wolper, singer and songwriter, Waiting for Winter. Parallel Lives is that new album. She's with me here on Jazz 88. Let's have the thumbnail sketch of your life story.
Okay. Well, it all started in this little shack in...
You were born in a trunk in the Pocatello, Idaho.
Yeah, exactly. Born and reared in the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area. And to lovely parents who may be listening right now online, if they can figure out how to stream in California. And grew up there and did, all singing, doing little shows, theater in high school, went on to college, left. I was a college dropout. Well, fixed that up later, but... came to New York to go to acting school, to the Neighborhood Playhouse, and spent some time as an actor, or a lot of time trying to get work as an actor.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the job. The job is auditioning.
Oh, it was brutal. Yeah. It was awful. I mean, I really loved acting. I loved that whole world of just that collective act of theater.
You get paid... Actually, you do the plays free. What you really earn your living doing is the auditioning and the total pain of going through all that.
Yeah.
But once you're actually doing a show, now you do that for love or whatever.
Yeah, the auditioning, though, it was brutal. I think some people handle it better than I was handling it. It was really hard, and I loved doing it, but I went through some transitions in life. I went through a divorce and... blah, blah, blah. And then I just decided I'm going to take a break from that. And I was doing a lot of freelance writing as well. And just mostly doing that. But I started
writing what?
Articles, couple of books.
About what?
Okay. Well, I did a lot of writing for the theatrical trade paper backstage. I also did some human rights, another big interest of mine, some things on human rights, political things. I co-edited a book, the first international collection on women's human rights, called Women's Rights, Human Rights International Feminist Perspectives, co-editor with Professor Julie S. Peters. So talk about parallel lives, right? So I did that and was writing and... I just missed singing, though, and started singing just again for my own pleasure, really without any intention of singing professionally again. But I'd always had this little jazz singer fantasy and started tiptoeing back into it, oh gosh, I guess about 18 years ago, I think. Started going to open mics and then jam sessions and, oof, jam sessions. Getting my butt kicked a little bit, but realizing that I had some things to learn and starting to learn them if I wanted to sing jazz.
What were you singing early on?
Well, I mean, more theater kind of
singing.
Yeah.
So what was the hardest thing to learn or most important thing to learn?
Oh, you know, there are so many things. I think certain things I had to some degree internalized because I had listened, I'd gone through periods where I'd listened to two Ella Fitzgerald albums in college so much that I actually couldn't listen to those anymore for a while. I had to put them away for a number of years because I had listened to these two albums so much. And then I fell in love with Anita O'Day and I listened to her so much that even though I wasn't singing jazz at the time, I think I must have internalized some things because I just listened to those two nonstop. And then was listening to other kinds of jazz as well. But in addition to all the things that we talk about when we think about jazz and try to figure out for what reason, I'm not sure what it is, what constitutes jazz. I think the main thing for me that one has to learn is the importance of developing your own sound.
That's jazz.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't matter what instrument you play either.
Yeah,
same
absolutely.
Thing. Oh, yeah, you listen to Charlie Parker. Okay, we get it. You can't do what Charlie Parker did. You have to do what you do.
Right, right.
We can hear your inspiration.
I think you internalize things that you want to draw on, tools that you want to draw on by studying, by listening, by singing along with, whether you're a singer or an instrumentalist, by singing along with. You know, I sing with Charlie Parker solos. Now, I'm not a bebop singer. I don't think anybody would ever listen to me and say she's a bebopper. But you study that stuff. You work on it. In whatever way you do that, you learn it. But ultimately, you got to sound like yourself, or what's the point? I mean,
Mark Murphy always said, I said, "What, you know, what do you teach? How do you become a jazz singer?" And he said, "Stand next to the drummer. Sing standing next to the drummer."
Yeah.
Once you get the rhythm of it all, that's the beginning. That's the foundation of everything. Then you get into all those weird harmonies and things.
Well, and something else happened when I was first starting. So many of the singers have been mentored by Mark, since you mentioned Mark Murphy. And I can't claim that. But what happened was I just loved his singing, and he was still living in California, and I was going to be out there, and I contacted him about having a lesson, and he said, "Well, I'm not going to be in town, but why don't you send me a tape, a cassette tape, okay?" So yeah. This is a few years ago. So I had done a demo, and my first demo, and I sent it to him with this long letter earnestly talking about everything that I wanted to address, and he taped back his reply, and it was very painful. I'm sure he doesn't even remember this. Wouldn't remember this, but it was very painful what he said, the things that he said to me. And some of the things that he said had to do with adjusting my sound, because I had come from a theater background. And I realized once I put it away and went off and licked my wounds and emerged a little later and listened to that tape again, he said some things I really needed to hear and needed to address. So it was a little rough at the moment, but did me some good.
Quite often, anyway, more than half of the songs, the standards that jazz singers do indeed sing, all come from the theater, again, to begin with. So there's a full circle thing there.
There is, and they do. And this is also why this idea of original key drives me crazy. This idea that the female singers are wrong for not singing in the original key, which is... Well, I can't curse, can I?
Yeah, I know.
A lot of the songs are written for shows. Whatever ends up in the fake book that all the instrumentalists are learning or playing, the key they're playing it, and it's not necessarily an original key. It's the key that ended up in the fake book. Maybe we've heard, I don't know if this is true, but things were written in keys that fit well on the staffs, where the melody would fit nicely on the staff. And those don't usually work for female voices.
Hugh Jackman the other night on Broadway, we're listening to him sing a song like Fever and a couple of other things. And he's got a really good voice, and he's got lots of chops and lots of presence. And, you know, he's a wonderful entertainer and all of that. Except that, you know, I'm always listening, is the singer in tune? He was singing in tune, but he was singing, it seemed, in a different key from the way the song should be. Or, you know,
from where they were playing it?
Yeah, you know, the way he was singing it. I mean, he was singing the melody. It was like almost, and my friend Amy said, it sounds like he's singing the harmony part. It's really interesting when you hear somebody do that. And it's not that they're out of tune. Again, they know exactly what they're doing, it seems to me. But it's just like they're singing around as a little serpentine way through the melody. It's very interesting.
Yeah.
And very appealing. I mean, I thought he was terrific. So, you know, it all works. But I always tell singers, too, is that quit doing that filigree on songs. Like you're just going up and down scales. Like you think you can do it like Aretha does it. And I'm sorry, only Aretha can. Because she's brilliant at it. Yeah. But nobody else, you know, sing one true note, you can knock a wall down, you know. That's the whole thing. You do a song by one of my favorite songwriters, Hoagy Carmichael, with Johnny Mercer. They wrote this song. Here's Andrea Wolper and Skylark.
Say to me, can you tell me where my love can be? Is there a meadow in the mist where someone's waiting to be kissed? Oh, Skylark, have you seen a valley green with spring, where my heart can go a journey? Over the shadows and the rain to a blossom-covered lane, and in your lonely, but my heart is riding on your wings. So if you see them anywhere, won't you lead me there?
Andrea Wolper on Jazz 88. That's from the new album, Parallel Lives, celebrating the album at the Zinc Bar on Wednesday and next Sunday at Trumpets. With the Cats on the Band.
With the Cats on the Band.
Name them.
Yep. They are Michael Howell on guitar, Chris Davis on piano, Ken Filiano on bass, and on sound rhythm, Michael T.A. Thompson, which looks like a drum kit, sound rhythm, but
okay.
He's more than a drummer.
Okay, okay. And singing all these songs, I mean, we were talking about the cross the spectrum thing, but just then, Hoagy Carmichael, Johnny Mercer,
yeah.
But you've also got a Duncan Sheik song on here, and
yeah.
Two Joni Mitchell songs, and a Richard Rodgers song, certainly. But it's interesting when you're putting these songs together, Buffy St. Marie, and trying to have this idea of what goes together. That's the fun of it, but it's also the madness of it all.
Yeah, I think ultimately with this one, I really just wanted to do some of the songs that I'd been doing and loved. And we probably recorded 14 songs, and 12 of them ended up on the album. You kind of go through this process of seeing what works, what fits together, and seems to make some kind of sense.
You hope.
You only hope and pray.
What happens is, I think it's no different, and it must be, you can confirm or deny this, but there's a certain point at which you have to just stop yourself and say, that's it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's, that can be tricky, I think. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't say this either, but I didn't know if I should keep Skylark on here because there's so many recordings of Skylark. And I sing Skylark because I love that song. I just think it's a perfect song. And but really, does the world need yet another recording of Skylark? But I let myself do it. It was, I guess, a gift to myself because I love it.
The twist of it is that you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. Because I tell people, if you're going to put out a record and it's all your original tunes, mm-hmm. and we've never heard you before, mm-hmm. they better knock us down.
Right.
Like from the very first 30 seconds of the first track. I said, but sometimes we want to know, what can you do with Skylark? What can you do with a standard? Because right. that's how we measure you. And that's what we're doing. We're measuring you.
Yeah. Well, that's an interesting perspective. Right. What can you do with, especially a standard that's so well known?
Yeah. I remember once writers were all sitting around getting drunk one afternoon, and we used to do this once a year, and we got into this thing about what songs do you never want to hear again?
Right.
And Round Midnight was one of the ones, because we just heard it too many times. And, you know, we heard Monk play it, so
right.
who else do we ever need to hear play it? But I remember going that night or that year in Montreal and hearing Barney Willen came over from Paris, and he played Brown Midnight, and it was so beautiful. It was like hearing the song for the first time. It was that's what you want to have when you're a jazz person.
Yeah, you know, I think the other thing though is there's also different audiences. I mean, I find when a CD is released, there's radio, that's an audience, the people who are hopefully going to play it. There are people who will write about it, and then there are people who hopefully will buy it. And those are three distinct audiences, I think. And ultimately, I think you can't get too caught up in trying to please any of those groups, because then you're just going to end up with some kind of mess. I mean, you as you were saying, you do it, you put everything that you've got into it, and then you have to let it go and hope for the best.
That's it. And maybe Parallel Lines also connects to the audience, because the audience brings something to what you do.
Oh, yeah.
So you think it's this, but what they hear is that.
Absolutely. And you see that when you read what people write about the songs. They might, one person says, describes a song this way, and someone else describes it the other way. And then, of course, in live performance, there's this whole other thing that goes on where there's that energy with the audience and that the band members have, that we have together. And that takes it to a whole other place.
That's a whole twist of a great performance on a record when you hear it and you play it over and over again. And then you hear it, and they didn't do that phrase quite like you heard it on the record that really knocked you out. It was like, what? Wait, what's wrong? No. Anyway, you just have to trust that if an artist you love, they're going to do what you love, which is be themselves. That's the whole point.
Yeah, and you know, it's live music. I guess in pop music, and you know, you go and you want to hear it exactly the way it was on the record. But I think if people love jazz and improvised music, they hopefully don't have that same expectation and are there really for the live experience.
The live experience of Andrea Wolper is going to be this week. She's going to be at the Zinc Bar downtown on Wednesday, and she's going to be at Trumpets in Montclair next Sunday with the Cats in the band, and that's the band on the album. It's a new album from Jazzed Media.
Jazzed Media, yep.
It's called Parallel Lives here on Jazz 88. Here's one more. Here's a Joni Mitchell song about being cool. Cool to have you on today.
Thank you. Cool to be here.
Game everybody's gonna name it's be cool. If you're worried or uncertain, if your feelings are hurting, you're a fool if you can't be cool. Charm 'em, don't alarm 'em, keep things light, keep your worries out of sight. Play it cool, 50-50, fire and ice. If your heart is on the floor, you're just in your level, come through the door with a new fool. Be cool, don't you sweat it. You start writing right now, trying to forget it. Be cool, don't get riled. Smile, keep it light. Be your own best friend at night. Play it cool, 50-50, fire and ice. Your feelings are hurting your